The question that I started to ask is because I realized after a few years of this that there was some other dimensional connection here. Not just talking to people on the inside, but many other different people, people who had been involved in the mind control projects and saw some of this stuff from the inside. So my question was, who controls the controllers? Because it's a real hierarchical thing, and eventually it goes out of this dimension. And the thing to remember is that we don't live in a world. This is the kind of information I'm talking about in this last section, which has been fundamental to the manipulation of the human race, the suppression of it, because it is the means by which we understand who we are, how we create the reality we like or don't like, and how we can change it to another one. Holds us in the matrix. When we look through our eyes, we don't see a world, we think we do. All we're seeing is a frequency range. A frequency range that our five senses can access. And it's a very, very narrow one. Outside of that frequency range that we can access is infinity, an infinity of possibility and experience and places of existence. And we're just seeing a fraction. Basically, it's like having a radio and you tune it to radio one. And what you get then is radio one. You don't get radio two, three, and four. And yet all those radio stations, broadcast frequencies, are existing in the same space, just as all existence and all these other dimensions of existence exist in the same space that we're occupying. But the radio is tuned to radio one, so that's what you get. You move it to radio two, now you've got radio two. Radio one hasn't stopped broadcasting because you've moved from it, it's just that you're not accessing it anymore. And it's the same with our experience in this illusion we call the physical world. When we take on physical form, we are locking ourselves into this reality. Therefore, that's what we experience, this frequency range. You get cats and other animals who have a greater visual frequency range, and what they do is they're reacting to empty space in the room, and you go, what's wrong with the bloody cat? It's going like that, but to the cat, greater visual access and frequency range, that is not empty space, although it appears to be to us. People talk about the UFOs. I saw this UFO and it disappeared in front of my eyes. Like, what are you on? You're mad. No, it hasn't actually disappeared. It has left the frequency range of the five senses. Therefore, it appears to disappear. That is all. It's all about frequency and whether you're tuned to it. And I started to realize, in fact, you know, as more and more is being identified, only 1% or less than 1% of identifiable mass matter in this universe we can actually see with our five senses. And yet we are so locked into the conditioning, this is reality, that when you're talking about anything that is beyond what is accepted to exist, you're mad, you're on something. And yet, hold on a minute, we can't see 99% of what is known to exist. What? We open our minds to all possibility. It's like Socrates, the Greek philosopher, said, wisdom is knowing how little we know. That holds your mind open. Not that you accept anything, any old crap, but it holds your mind open to possibility instead of dismissing things just because they're different. Bloody hell, I'm going to get into some different things in this section. Let's start. One of the things that's been kind of thrown at me, dismiss him, he says reptiles run the world, you're mad. Well, I have a simple philosophy. I follow information. If you try to uncover what's going on in the world with a belief system, whether it's a religious belief system or whether it's a rigid one or whether it's a political belief system or whatever, anything like that, then you might as well just go and have a cup of tea. Because what's going on in the world is so different to what we think is going on that if you have a belief system to defend, and also, if you have an ego to defend, hey, what will people think of me? Then you're dead in the water because people, you will not go into areas that if this information takes you because your belief system will edit them out. Not go in there. My belief system's under pressure if I do. I just follow information. And I got to the point in about the mid-late 90s when I'm working on how the five-sense world, you might say, is manipulated and the structures and all this stuff, where I started running into a very strange theme. And that is of people who of all walks of life, I mean, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of these people around the world now, who told me how they saw a person, often in positions of power, but not always, turn into a reptilian-type form in front of their eyes and then move back again. What's become known throughout history as shape-shifting and all that stuff. Morphing is the modern word for it, apparently, that people are using. And it's like, when you first hear someone say that, you're going, what? And then another one tells you, and it's like, what, but not quite so pronounced. And when this theme comes, there was one period in America in about 1997 when I met 12 different people in different parts of America. I was traveling a lot in 15 days who told me the same basic story. And I talked then to people in some of the mind control projects, not looking for these stories, but I just walked into them. And this book, Transformation of America, is written by a mind-controlled slave of the CIA from when she was a kid in the 50s right the way through to the late 1980s, called Kathy O'Brien. And when I'm starting to get this reptilian thing, I'm thinking, I'm sure she talks about reptilians in her book. So I went back to the book, flicking through, feeling a right prat, looking under the index for reptilian, and I found about three or four references. And what she says was, and this is a book that names Cheney and Father George Bush and the stream of people in America as child abusers and what have you. And she sent copies to members of Congress, to all the media back in the early 90s when it came out. No reaction, nothing from any of the people. Just go away. Don't want to go there, because if we go to court, then the whole thing will come out. Don't want to go there. Shut up. Ignore it. Anyway, I'm looking through this, and she was talking. And understandably, what she did when she had these experiences was she explain them away as part of the mind program. They're just trying to manipulate my mind and confuse me. But what she said was, she met one of the people that she was a slave to was Father George Bush during the Reagan administration. And she said that he told her they were a, quote, extraterrestrial race that from another plane of existence that had taken the world over and no one noticed because they looked human. And she said that Bush turned in front of her eyes into a reptilian-type form, just this part of him, and then went back again. And she thought, it's just part of the confusion. And then she tells in the book as well as how she went to Mexico, where she was put under the authority for a while of Miguel de la Madrid, who was president of Mexico. And she says in the book how he told her the story of what he called the iguana race. And he said, what happened is that he also, she said, changed into a reptilian form in front of her eyes. Now, what she was saying, and saying that was just, it's not real, it's just a mind control project, is exactly what these people all over the world from all these different walks of life, I mean, people in the banking system and power dressing business women and stuff like that, have had this experience. Talking of that, I had to bloody laugh, really, but I met this lady in Canada who said to me, she ran a company in Vancouver, and she came to one of my talks and said, I've got to meet you because I know it's, you know, people laugh at you, but I know it's what you're saying is true. And she told me the story of how she had this experience with this guy. She said he had a real dark side, which he said he was trying to work with and understood was there. She said, and they came back in the late 90s, to a house. And they went into a bedroom to have sex, right? And just above her bed, she says, is the biggest secret, which is the first time that I started writing about this stuff. And she said, this guy took an immediate aversion to this book and started saying, that's some bloody nonsense. What are you having that for? Rubbish. Do you want to read that crap? That sort of stuff. She's thinking, hold on, it's just a book. So anyway, they start having sex, and she said he started getting really, really rough. And she said, I had my hand on his back, and I looked up at him. She said, and this guy started transforming into a reptilian form. Now, what made me bloody laugh, because it's so sodding bizarre, is she said, I then felt my hand going back. And she said, I looked round and he was sprouting a sodding tail, right? She said, I threw him off and screamed and he morphed back to human form. I threw him out of the house, never seen him again. Now, bizarre as that may sound, and my God, it is from this reality that we have, I've heard these stories in other countries where people have talked about the same basic experience. And how amazing. We have a tremendous reptilian genetics anyway, because there are still people around the world with tails. I mean, you can feel here where the tail used to be going way back. And in Western medicine, they call them caudal appendages. And they whip them off at birth and that's it. But in other parts of the world where they don't have those facilities, there's still people with tails. They come to light from time to time in the press. Because it's just that a DNA code that should be closed at this point opens for some reason in those people and it manifests a physical trait. So more and more of these stories started coming and I'm thinking, shit, you know, what's going on here? And then I come back to England and I meet a lady who tells me that she is a friend of a close associate of Princess Diana, and I haven't gone public by the time I've met her with this stuff, not written any books on it, I'm just trying to work out what the hell is happening. And I met her, this was a lady who was a close confidant of Princess Diana for 9 years and was acknowledged as such in the tabloid media, a lady called Christine Fitzgerald, and she came over to talk to me about, well, I thought the Windsors and the way they treated Diana, which was appalling. And we're in this conversation, and I'm listening, and she said, by the way, do you know what Diana used to call the Windsors? And I said, no. She says, she used to call them the reptiles and the lizards, and she used to say that they weren't human. And I'm thinking, shit, not more frickin' reptiles. I mean, I'm thinking, shit, I'm going to have to talk about this if this goes on, and my God, hey, it's going to be a laugh, isn't it? And I said, what do you mean reptiles? I'm like playing the idiot, because she didn't know that this had come into my research. And she said, yeah, you know that the Windsors are a human reptilian hybrid bloodline. And this is what the aristocracy and the royal families are. That's why that they, right back into the ancient world, they said they had the right to rule because of their bloodline, because of their DNA, because of their genetic connection to what were perceived as the gods. So what I did, I started looking back in all these bloody ancient texts and stuff, and I started finding in the ancient accounts references, many of them, to shape-shifting reptilian-human entities that could move between a reptilian and human form. Back in Asia, they had a group of people they called the Nagas that could do that. And then I went in to talk to my great friend Kreda Mutwa, the shaman down in South Africa, and he started telling me all about this whole thing from their perspective, what he's been initiated into. Not only have people reported in large numbers to me seeing this process of this morphing from a human to a reptilian form and then back again, they've also seen like ethereal reptilian forms following people around and locking into these lower chakra points, these vortex points that connect the different levels of us with the physical. So I go and see Kreda Mutwa. He's on the left, by the way. And this man is an absolute freaking genius. I mean, he is a library on legs, this man. What happened is I went to talk in South Africa just after The Biggest Secret came out, and he contacted me through a third party and wanted to speak to me. So I went to see him and I spent hours and hours, days in fact, with him. And what he said, he asked me first of all, is how do you know about the Chitahuri? I said, well, I just come into my life and people have told me these stories. He said, what's in your book, I was initiated into kind of 40, 50 years ago. The true history of Black Africa and the true history of the world. He said, we call your reptiles